We have the privilege this morning of hearing this young lady preach to you today, Serena. Amen. Cheryl and I's daughter, and we're very proud of she and Jimmy, and they work with our youth, they work with our worship and other areas, and helps at Firm Foundation School. And so she just got back from where I'm going. We're going to Houston for the convention. She and her mom just got back about a month ago, where she spoke there for our headquarters church ladies. And so she's busy. She has four children. And thank you and Jimmy for that. Yeah, we appreciate them. And but she has an anointing. She has an anointing. And we knew that early on. We knew that early on because she had no problem talking. So we knew early on. And then when she attended Multnomah Bible College and wanted to be pastoral ministry, one of the few that dared venture into that avenue as a young lady, but she made her mark and graduated and with her degree, and we are very proud of you. But more than anything, we thank God for touching your life and having an anointing on you for speaking and ministering and just being who you are. So thank you, daughter. And having said that, I'm going to leave and not listen to you. We've got to get to the airport, but I love you. Amen. Lord, we thank you today for Serena. We pray you'd anoint her, Lord, for the words that you've given her to speak today. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's here that will hear her. And we pray, Lord, that the word of the Lord would deeply impress us. Not Serena, but the way the word of the Lord speaks, Lord. We ask that. And we thank you for her in Jesus' name. Amen. So, would you welcome Serena to the pulpit today?
All right. Yeah, they had to do that because even though I'm like 42 years old, I still like cry when they leave. So, thanks for that. Let me know when you arrive there safely. But we are excited. We are definitely missing our drummer, my brother, Eddie, and his wife, Stacy, who are over in Houston already. They got there last night. Well, I'm assuming they got there. I got a text saying that he was praying for me this morning. I'm assuming that came from Houston. So, but yes, we are definitely missing them, but we are still glad. I hope that you are still glad that you came here to church today. So we are going to be in the book of Matthew. So if you could get your Bibles out or get your phones out and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, and we are going to get started. So the book of Matthew, that first book of the New Testament, when we're studying out that the kind of origins of the book, they call it an anonymous book, but church history pins it to Matthew, who was the tax collector. And so that's who we have come to know who wrote that book. And it's just interesting. I love Jesus so much, but one thing I absolutely love about him is the people that he gave value and dignity back to. The people that society had cast aside, the people that society had said, you're too dirty, I can't touch you, I can't talk to you, were the very ones that not only did Jesus go up to and touch and restore dignity and value, but gave them a place in his kingdom. Gave them a place. Said, hey, you've got something worth living for that is bigger than you. And the thing that I love about his followers is scripture tells us that they were not smart. They were not smart men. But you know what? There are some of you in this room that aren't very intelligent. But all of us, I think, when we compare ourselves to the good Lord Jesus, would say we are not smart. But God makes up the difference. God qualifies those that he calls. See, he may call you to do a job like raise children. And I remember when Jimmy and I brought Logan home for the first time. We didn't bring him home a second time. We just brought him home one time. When we brought him home, I looked at Jimmy and I thought, I know there are so many smart people in this hospital, but I really think they're stupid. And he looks at me. He's like, what am I? They are letting us go home with this baby. we don't know what we're doing. So they're like, lost their, what are they thinking? We need to stay here for like 6 months. But you know what? When God calls you to something, he qualifies you. He makes up the difference as long as we say, God, I need you to make up the difference. As long as we declare and admit our dependency on him, he's going to make up the difference. In February, our school asked if I would be a long-term sub for my son's classroom, and that's third grade. And for those of you that don't, I've been in youth ministry for a really long time. I started when I was 16, and youth ministry typically is middle school and high school. So I was like, third grade, you got to be kidding me. Like, I don't do third grade. Nope, I do middle school and I do high school. So I began subbing, and actually as I was subbing, I realized I actually liked third grade. I had a lot of fun in third grade. So they asked me if I would be this long-term sub, and I was like, okay. Like, I had been singing this song that was new in the past several months saying, I am available. Like, God, whatever you want me to do, like, I'm available. And this door just swung open, and we prayed about it, and we just felt a yes in our spirit. And I remember walking in that first day going, God, I have no clue what I'm doing. So you have got to make up the difference. And I prefaced it with, God, I believe this is where you've called me. I believe this is what you've called our family to venture into for the next couple months. So this is on you, bro. Like, you have got to come through, and or this poor class. And I would like to say that so far I have still all have all my students. They are there. They are learning. I am learning, for crying out loud. Okay, I am learning how to do shortcut division. I am learning things about fractions I never knew before. It's amazing. And language. Oh my goodness. Can we just talk about language for a short hot minute? Oh, my word. They're asking me questions, and I'm able to say, you know what? I don't know. So let's figure it out together. This class is teaching me, and I've taught them a little bit when it comes to Bible. Like, I know how to teach that, you know. But the thing is, in my lack, God makes up the difference. As long as I remain dependent on him, and it's been super fun. It truly has. So whatever God calls you to do, just keep throwing it back on him. Say, God, I am giving you my lack, but your word tells me that with you I lack no good thing. So you're going to come through because you have to. And just stand aside and watch God be amazed. Do your part, and God's going to do his part, and the glory will all be his. But that's what I love about Scripture, is that God was bringing to his side those that would, after his death and resurrection, he would send out these disciples who are unschooled, unlearned men, the Bible says, and they would turn the world completely upside down because they expressed their dependency on God. They knew where they lacked, and they allowed God to come in and the Holy Spirit to come in and make up the difference. And you know what? He asks us to do the same. He has come to restore your dignity and your honor. In the places in your life where you feel like maybe you've been shamed, or the places where maybe people have spoken that over you. If maybe you're here today and you feel like you're one of those untouchables that society has just cast out, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus would be the first one, and I pray we would be right in line after him to welcome you with open arms and say, there's a place for you, not only in the family of God, not only here at our church, but in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, that Jesus came to explain what that was. There is place for you in the kingdom. And so where we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 7 is at the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount. And it gets that name because guess what? Jesus preached the sermon on a mountain. Sometimes there's some good common sense. A lot of times there's good common sense in here. But don't make the Bible more complicated than we need it to be. Verse 5:1 actually tells us that Jesus went to a mountainside, and he sat down as often the rabbis would do, and he began to teach. And the people that were there were just soaking up every word, and we find out later, actually, at the end of my text, it'll say the people just learned so much because he taught differently. He taught as one who had authority. They could sense that on him. They could hear it in his words. They felt it in their spirit. So Jesus is finishing up the Sermon on the Mount. And then what our text, we're not going to get there yet, a little bit more background, but our text is going to be kind of Jesus' conclusion. He has said all of these things from chapters 5, 6, and 7. We're just reading the things that Matthew recorded. And Jesus is getting ready to wrap it all up. He's getting ready to kind of answer, this is how you live out what I just got done saying. But before that, what would it, this the people that were there. So as I often do, I love to put myself in the story. So if I was one of those people, like, go there with me. We're on the mountainside. We've heard there's this guy that's teaching. We've heard some things about him. Or maybe we haven't heard anything about him. And we've got invited. I don't know if there's going to be lunch, but let's go find out. You never know. It could be cookies. And so we go to the mountainside and we sit and we just begin hearing. What would be the things that we would have heard? Jesus would begin talking about the kingdom of God and what it's like to live as part of that kingdom. And it would have sounded so upside down to those people. Everything he said, he would say phrases like, you have heard it said, but I say to you. And he was flipping upside down their entire mindset. I mean, Jesus was counterculture before that was even a thing, okay? I mean, he would hit the things that were coming and were normal in their culture. And he would say, here is a different way. Here is a better way. Here is the original intent. Through the chapters of 5 through 7, Jesus talked, we have the Beatitudes in chapter 5. We have, Jesus is going to talk about judging. How we shouldn't. Right? Jesus is going to talk about marriage. He's going to talk about adultery. He's going to talk about divorce. He's going to talk about keeping your word, being a person who says what they mean and means what they say, being people of integrity. He's going to talk about revenge. He's going to talk about loving your enemies. In this sermon, Jesus in chapter 6 is going to teach them how to pray. He's going to teach them how to pray. He's going to, and that would be the Lord's Prayer, is in chapter 6. Jesus talked about fasting. He talked about getting our priorities right, or what he called our treasures. Getting that right. He talked about worry and anxiety. He talked about the thing that we need to be seeking first above all. He would say, seek first the kingdom of God. He talked again about persistent prayer, about salvation, about having discernment in the culture that you live in. Because just because someone is a leader and someone says they have authority does not always mean they are in line with God's word. And so he would teach them how to be discerning in their culture. And then we would get to the conclusion. I love a good cause and effect. Always have. I remember from being just probably middle school, maybe a little younger, sitting in church with my Precious Moments Bible and circling, you know, the scriptures that my dad was preaching on or whoever was preaching. And I remember the words if and the words then would always jump out to me, especially in Psalms. And it's so funny because we just recently were going through our storage unit and not fun times right there. But we find some good things in there, some little treasures. I found my Precious Moments Bible. And I was like, what? And I was looking at it way too long. And Jimmy's like, we're here. We got a job to do. Come on, let's go through stuff. But it was so funny as I started going through there, I started seeing the things that I was highlighting like as a 12-year-old, as a 13-year-old. And some of those scriptures are still so, so very, very deep in my soul. And it was just such a sweet moment for me. But I remember looking through the old Bible and seeing that I was already noticing, if I do this, then this will happen. Or if I do this, then this will happen. So I've always been a really good if-then, cause and effect person. And so when I hear this, like my ears perk up. I'm like, okay, Jesus is getting ready for me to say, pick your result. Pick the result that you want to have for your life. And so he has just got done saying, from chapters 5 through 7, what we're able to read in our Bibles. And then he says this. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, and that phrase right there, these words of mine, is directly referencing what we just heard, which would have been the Sermon on the Mount. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Here's the thing. Jesus tells us this amazing sermon, and then he puts it all on them. He's like, all right, based on what I've just said, you have two choices before you. Everyone who hears, because all of them there heard it. All of them there heard it. I mean, those of you who have young children in your house, you know your kids hear you. But whether or not they do what you say is an entirely different subject. You hear what I'm saying? I know my son, Logan's really getting picked on. Jimmy has incredible hearing, like really, really good. Very, very supersonic, like superhero good almost. Mine, for those of you that know, is horrible. Hearing aids, very, very bad. Horrible, 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 horrible. Logan, thank you, Jesus, got Jimmy's hearing. So when Logan comes in and says, Mom, I didn't hear you, I look at him and go, ha, ha, ha. Yes, you did. I know that you did. I know that you are more than capable to hear me. And so we have nice conversations about that. All of our children hear very well. They've been tested. They did not get that from me. So I know when they come in, Mom, I didn't hear you. I'm like, no, you weren't listening. You heard me. You totally heard me. Come on, am I the only one? Does everyone know? You know, you've had kids in the house, even your neighbor kids, and you're like, please leave. And they're like, I can't hear you. They're like, yes, you do hear me. Okay? We're the same way. We can hear what the Word of God says. We can read what the Word of God says. But the choice is all on us if we actually put it into practice or if we do not. So Jesus says, if you listen to my words, then you will be like the wise man, and you put them into practice, then you'll be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came, and the streams rose, the winds blew, yet it did not fall, because its foundation was on the rock. Another thing I'm sure you'll be shocked to know is I don't build things. I know, shocking. Yeah, don't. That's one of the reasons I married Jimmy, so he can build the things. Right? We, for years, have, when we would have, like, kids' days and VBS things here, it was amazing to me the things that Jimmy could make out of cardboard. One year we had this, I don't know, I think it was like a 10-foot-tall barn. We painted it. I mean, we're low budget. We were trying to just save some money. We had all this cardboard, so we're like, let's use it. We built this amazing barn out of cardboard that, like, the kids were able to go in, and it lasted two-ish days. Maybe it would not have lasted storm and wind and rain for sure. See, I've tried to build like shelves and stuff. Do you know how important those first few pieces are that you put together? And I'm a direction reader, big time, like big time direction reader. And I just recently was putting together a shelf, and Jimmy comes in. I'm about halfway and I'm just upset. And I'm like, I just don't understand. And he comes and he's like, Sharina, the first piece is wrong. I'm like, what? No, I followed the directions. Well, it turns out they put the stickers on the wrong where they were. So I did follow the directions, but the directions were wrong. But Jimmy's like, that first board, so then everything else. And I'm like, so I have to start all over. I had to take it all apart, and we had to start over from scratch. The foundation is so important. I'm not a builder. I'm not. Again, I know you're shocked, right? But, and some of you in here probably are, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but as I was doing a little research, the primary purpose of a foundation, just in case you didn't know, is to support the load of the entire building. We know this, right? And oftentimes it's the foundation that takes the longest to build. And after that, you can drive by the same piece of property. I've said this before. You can be driving by the same way to work every single day. And all of a sudden, boom, a building pops out of nowhere. And you're like, how did that get there? They've been working on the foundation for months probably, and you just didn't see it. Because the foundation is the most important piece. And see, here's the thing. What I was also reading is that cornerstone of the foundation is that first piece to go into. And we have heard in Scripture that Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. Not only is the cornerstone of the kingdom of God, but he's the cornerstone of our life. Here's the thing about the cornerstone. The cornerstone marks the geographical location by orienting the building in a specific direction. And it's often inscribed by the name of the architect and the owner. Do you know that Jesus Christ himself has inscribed your name on his hand? That's how important you are to what Christ is building on this earth. He has set the cornerstone of your life in place. As we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he becomes our cornerstone. And that is set, and the direction for our life is set. And we are set up in the right way. And Jesus says, this is the way. I am the way. Follow me. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I have set myself in your life as your cornerstone. I've inscribed your name on my palm, and my name is on your heart. And from here on out, the choices that you make are going to help lay down the foundation. I have given you my word as the foundation, but listen, we're the ones that have to lay the brick. See, some of us, I think, when it comes to laying the foundation of our life and wanting to build the house of our life, is we're great with God being our cornerstone. We love it. We're like, yes, Jesus, I need you as Lord and Savior. Be that cornerstone. And then it comes to start laying down the cement parts and the brick that will make up the foundation. And we really like what Scripture says. We love it. We love it. Yes, oh, that part about you have plans for me and a purpose for me. Oh, I definitely want that brick. Put that right there. Mm-hmm. And then it says to love your neighbor. You know what? We're just going to move that to the back of the pile. And what you said about like revenge, you know what? We're just going to move that one to the back of the pile. And I'm going to go over here because I'm super smart. And I have really good logic and I have really good reasoning. And I actually brought my own bricks to the foundation making party. So I think if you and I, Jesus, just work together, we're going to have a great house. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so good. And Jesus is like, are you kidding me right now? If I were to come to a site, a job site where they were building a foundation, or maybe if Jimmy and I decided we wanted to add on and they start building the foundation, I'm like, hey guys, I brought some Legos. Can I help? These Legos are super strong. Like I watched a show and they built this really big thing, which is this tiny little Lego. They're really strong. And I brought them. I want to use them to help build this foundation because I totally know what I'm doing. I totally know. I've built Legos before. Actually, it's Lego, I guess, is the proper term. They would laugh at me. They would send me on my way. But sometimes, seriously, sometimes spiritually, we do that. We're like, God, I'm bringing my own bricks. Because you know what? The whole trusting you thing, I'm good with most of it. But I still need to have a little bit of control. I just still want to have a little bit of say-so. Because I totally trust you. But actually, we don't. Because we want things our way. And we like what Scripture says. We think that's so good, and we want to use that, and we want to use ours. But what's going to happen is the pieces that we place aren't going to seal right. It's inferior material. And it's going to be causing cracks and breaks, and that cannot sustain the weight of the house, let alone the tempest and the storm and the wind. So when we're building our house, we've got to decide, are we going to build it on the foundation that is the Word of God with Jesus Christ as our chief cornerstone and let our logic and our reasoning be pushed aside because we don't know better than God. And that's what he's saying. If you hear my words and if you put them into practice, God, that loving your neighbor, your enemy thing, that's tough. I don't think I can do it. But from the beginning of this message, I talked about the part where we can't. God comes in and says, I can. Because God can do immeasurably more than all we can ask, think, or imagine. See, he can see. Listen, he is so worthy to be trusted because he sees the end from the beginning. And some of us, I think, have begun to build a house, and we've tried to pull from God's word, but we've also tried to pull from our reasoning and build a solid foundation. And then when the storms have come and the rains have come, all of a sudden we're wondering, what happened? I don't understand. And we feel shaken and we feel shook to our core. And some of us even, we have not built upon the character of who God is, so we begin to doubt, well, why, if God is such a good God, why would this happen? Read the text. The rains came to both the solid foundation house and the foolish man's house. Rains are coming to both. A solid foundation does not mean you are protected from the rain. It means that when it rains and when the wind blows, your house will stand. There are some of you in our family here at Landmark that have walked through some horrific storms, and they have been hurtful. They have been so hard to walk through, but because you have laid the foundation on the word of God, you have stood the storm. It doesn't mean you haven't weathered a little bit. It doesn't mean that we're free from the effect of it. But in the core of who you are, you have remained strong and firm. And that is the promise of God. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. So the importance of our foundation being the word of God. We have said it before, we are living in a day, one of the most biblically illiterate days of church history. And that's through people who consider themselves Bible-believing Christians. We need a generation of people, young and old alike, who will say, I'm going back to the drawing board, and I am making sure that my foundation is secure on Jesus Christ, my cornerstone, and on the word of God and the precepts that he set forth in his word. I have to make sure, you know what, I need to do a little bit of foundation inventory right now. I want to make sure that what I'm thinking and what I'm speaking and what I know and what I live by is on the foundation of the word of God. And sometimes we have to do that. We got to go back to that drawing board and just make sure, because it's so easy for our reasoning and our logic to try to take over. That's why in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, in the message translation, it says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. And I've known that's what the verse meant. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But when I heard the phrase, don't try to figure it out on your own, it just hit me. Talk about bricks. It was like a brick to my head. And I was like, okay. I've read that verse how many times? I've heard it how many times growing up? But sometimes we just need that little like jolt where it's like, Sharina, hello. You've been looking at this thing, trying to figure it out on your own. Because sometimes I think, well, and God tells us, like, you do your part, and God will come do his part. So sometimes for me, I'm thinking, well, this is me just doing my part. I'm just trying to make sure I'm being a good steward of the brain that you've given me. And there's so many times where I just cross over. I just cross over and trying to figure it all out on my own. And God's like, you got to stop. Take a couple steps back. Let me remove some of those bricks. And then we're going to come in with something better. You know, oftentimes like with Jimmy, when he would say, Sharina, step back. Set the bookshelf down. Take the directions with you. And he will switch and move, rearrange and get things going the way they need to be. Right? Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Can you imagine how hard that would have been to hear? They just listened to Jesus turn their world and their mindsets completely upside down. What they came in knowing and believing They were just left with that jaw drop. Oh my goodness. What do I do now? And when we are awakened to something like that, we need to ask the Lord to come in and keep our spirit so sensitive as we walk out of these doors. Every time we read scripture, every time we hear a message, every time we hear anything that is speaking of the word of God, we need to ask ourselves, how can I take this and apply it to my life? How can I take this and take it with me and let it change something that I do out there? How can I take what I heard? How can I filter that through my understanding of the word of God and let the Holy Spirit illuminate to me what I need to do? And that's what this crowd was sitting there having to do. So Jesus said this, therefore, all right, guys, you've heard all of this. Now, anyone, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter where you came from, it doesn't matter what you just did right before you came to this mountainside, anyone who hears the words that I've said and begins putting them into practice, it didn't say you're automatically in game day situation. He said you put them into practice. See, Jesus isn't going to just say you've got one chance to get this right, there you go. No, we know that it's all about practice, daily doing it, daily reading our Bible, daily praying, daily loving our enemy, daily doing this, daily doing that. See, Jesus knew that we aren't perfect. He knows that we're sometimes not going to get it right. That's why he has given us grace and mercy to try again the next day. It is never too late to make a right choice. It's never too late to get your day back on track with Jesus. It's never, you are one choice away, one decision away from being exactly where you need to be in your relationship with God. You may still have to deal with consequences and effects of your own choices, but you are one choice away from being in right standing with God our Father. He knows it takes practice. That's why he said, and puts them into practice. We're going to daily start doing. Now, Jesus does not expect you to take Matthew chapter 5 all the way through 7. Memorize it right now in 5 seconds. Good, go. Now go out and do it. Jesus knows that is so much. Try one. Just pick one. Just maybe for you, it's that enemy thing. You're like, man, there's this coworker I have that has just been so horrible to me. They've been doing this, they've been doing that. And I can tell you right now, I do not love them. And Jesus is like, work on that. Just work on loving them. Worry about the fasting later. Worry about the other thing later. Or maybe for you, as you go through the Sermon on the Mount, maybe that part about fasting is what's really hitting you. So work on that. Jesus doesn't expect us to nail everything perfectly the first time. It's called practice. It's called just daily, making it part of our daily life. So he said, anyone who puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and the beat against the house and it fell with a great crash. The times in my life when I have fallen all apart are the times when I'm not standing on the word of God, when I'm not standing on the promises of who God is and who and what he's capable of. When I'm trying to stand on my own logic and my own reasoning of a situation, those are the times where I fall with a hard crash. Anyone can build a sandcastle in a day. Anyone can build a cardboard barn in like 2 days. It was pretty great, actually. But to have something that endures, that will stand the test of time, that will stand the storms of life, we have to build it with the best building materials, which is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, and we've got to realize that it's going to take time. Sometimes we're just too impatient. I'll just take the inferior product. I'll just take a little bit of my pile and a little bit of his pile, because then my house is going to get built super fast. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. So what can we learn today? What can we learn from this text? Number one, I'll have you know, please tell Eddie when he comes back, I finished way before he does. Number one, anyone is invited to hear. Anyone. No one is excluded from hearing the invitation from Jesus. If you are here today and you're not really sure where you stand with God, I just said all it takes is one decision to be in right standing. If you're here today and you don't know if you've ever given your life to Christ, Jesus says, come, follow me. And all it takes, the Bible says, is you believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. It's acknowledging, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to come and be my Savior. It's acknowledging that, God, I believe you sent Jesus to die on that cross for my sin. And you didn't stay there. You rose again 3 days later. And you are alive and well today. Yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to get my world flipped upside down as I begin to live out what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. Everyone is invited. So when we go outside of these walls, those of us who have already made that decision, it's our job to invite others in, to invite them in. Everyone is invited to hear Christ's invitation and to accept him as Savior. Everyone is invited to hear the word, and everyone's invited to read the word. The next thing that we need to do is decide to obey. To decide to put these things into practice. Jesus, I want my foundation to be built on your word. James 1, 22 says it this way. I might need to get a bigger print Bible. James 1, 22 says this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's it. Can James get any more plain than that? Don't just sit in church and hear it. Walk out of these doors and live it. Don't just try to figure everything out on your own. Read scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then walk out of this, out of the doors and say, okay, God, here's what I think we should do, A, B, C, and D. Boom. We walk out of these doors and say, God, I have read your word and it says that I need to trust you and not my own understanding. So God, what should we do? God, what would you have me to do? We live it. And number three, sometimes we just need to check our foundation. Do a little heart check. Do a little life check. Is Christ our cornerstone? Have we allowed him to set the direction for our life? Is God's word your foundation? Or have we allowed our own reasoning, logic, cultural ideas to come in, and now the storms come and we're noticing that our house isn't as secure? But here's the beauty of it all. No matter where we are in our walk with Jesus, we are just one prayer away from being in right standing with him. Like I said before, we may still have to live with some of the effects or consequences of having a sandy foundation. But if you're willing, then God's ready for the remodel. Would you pray with me today? Jesus, I love you so much, and I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is life to us. I thank you, Lord, that you have invited every single one of us to not only to the invitation to receive you as Savior, but God, to the invitation to get into your word and get into the core of who we are so that we can begin to live it out. And Lord, as we live it out, it's going to be a light into the darkness, and we are going to be to our friends are going to start to notice something different. Our family members are going to begin to notice something different about us. And God, I pray that when the time comes, we would have the boldness and the courage to say, I invite you as Jesus invited me to come be a part of his kingdom. Jesus, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for what you are able to do. And I pray a blessing over all those that are here today. Give them a wonderful day. And Lord, I pray that we would all just take one thing from what we've heard today. One thing we read in scripture, or one thing that was spoken, or a song that was sang. Take one thing and purpose to live it when we walk out of the doors of this church. I pray, Lord, that we would be glad that we came to church today. I love you, Jesus. And I pray a blessing again on this day. And in your name, Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you so much for coming to church today. I just invite you as you are leaving to just greet someone. Let someone know that you are glad they came to church. You are dismissed today.